Let's read from God's Word, this time from Matthew chapter 13. We'll read the first 23 verses of this chapter together. You recall this is the chapter we looked at last Lord's Day evening. We looked at the verses 10 through 17 last Lord's Day, but this evening we're going to be looking at the verses 3 through 9 and then 18 through 23. There's two sections here in this chapter concerning the parable of the sower. The details of the parable in the verses 3 through 9 and the Lord's explanation of that parable is found in the verses 18 through 23. The same day when Jesus out of the house and sat by the seaside, and great multitudes were gathered together unto him, so that he went into a ship and sat, and the whole multitude stood on the shore. He spake many things unto them in parables, saying, Behold, the sower went out to sow. And when he sowed, some seed fell by the wayside, and the fowls came and devoured them up. Some fell upon stony places, where they had not much earth, and forthwith they sprung up, because they had no deepness of earth. And when the sun was up, they were scorched, and because they had no root, they withered away. And some fell among thorns, and the thorns sprung up and choked them. But other fell into good ground and brought forth fruit, some 100-fold, some 60-fold, some 30-fold. Who hath ears to hear? Let him hear. And the disciples came and said unto him, Why speakest thou unto them in parables? He answered and said unto them, Because it is given unto you to know the mysteries of the kingdom of heaven, but to them it is not given. For whosoever hath, to him shall be given, and he shall have more abundance, but whosoever hath not, from him shall be taken away even that he hath. Therefore speak I to them in parables, because they seeing see not, and hearing they hear not, neither do they understand. And in them is fulfilled the prophecy of Esaias, which saith, By hearing ye shall hear, and shall not understand, and seeing ye shall see, and shall not perceive. For this people's heart is waxed gross, and their ears are dull of hearing, and their eyes they have closed, lest at any time they should see with their eyes, For this people's heart is waxed gross, and their ears are dull of hearing, and their eyes they have closed, lest at any time they should see with their eyes, and hear with their ears, and should understand with their heart, and should be converted, and I should heal them. But blessed are your eyes, for they see, and your ears, for they hear. For verily I say unto you that many prophets and righteous men have desired to see those things which ye see, and have not seen them, and to hear those things which ye hear, and have not heard them. Hear ye therefore the parable of the sower. When anyone heareth the word of the kingdom, and understandeth it not, then cometh the wicked one, and catcheth away that which was sown in his heart. This is he which receives seed by the wayside. But he that received the seed into stony places is the same as he that heareth the word, and anon with joy receiveth it. Yet hath he not root in himself, but dureth for a while. For when tribulation or persecution ariseth because of the word, by and by he is offended. He also that received seed among the thorns is he that heareth the word, and the care of this world and the deceitfulness of riches choke the word, and he becometh unfruitful. But he that receives seed into the good ground is he that heareth the word and understandeth it, which also beareth fruit and bringeth forth some 100-fold, some 60, some 30. And our prayer is again that the Lord would give us an understanding of what we read there in his holy and inspired word. Why speakest thou unto them in parables? That, of course, was the question that Jesus was asked by his disciples. Why had he spoken in parables to the vast multitude that had come to hear him there on the shore of the Sea of Galilee? And Jesus' response was this, because it is given unto you to know the mysteries of the kingdom of heaven, but to them it is not given. The unfolding of the mysteries of the kingdom of heaven was one of the primary reasons that Jesus taught in parables. He utilized parables so as to reveal those things concerning the kingdom of God or the kingdom of heaven that had been concealed or hidden throughout the period of the Old Testament. Those mysteries were so profound, so beyond the ability of men to understand and to discover, that unless God was pleased to reveal them through his Son, those things would have remained forever hidden. The essence of these mysteries had been alluded to, hinted at, and even depicted during the period of the Old Testament, but they had not been fully unfolded and explained. As Jesus informed his disciples here in verse 17 of chapter 13, many prophets and righteous men had actually desired to see those things which they saw and had not seen them, and to hear those things which his disciples heard, but which had not heard them. God, according to his sovereign good pleasure, had kept hidden key aspects of his plan of redemption in Jesus Christ. But now, through the ministry of Jesus, those mysteries, those things that had been hidden from the foundation of the world, those things were now to be revealed. Revealed, at least in part, through these parables that Jesus taught and used. And so, using parables, Jesus set forth the great spiritual realities that pertain to the kingdom of heaven in terms that even uneducated men and women could actually understand. So through the parables, Jesus shared with the New Testament church the fundamental truths concerning the kingdom of heaven. Truths such as to how the citizens of the kingdom of heaven were gathered. Truths such as how that kingdom grew. Truths such as the preciousness of that kingdom. The first parable that Jesus employs in unfolding these mysteries of the kingdom of heaven is commonly identified as the parable of the sower, though it could perhaps more accurately be described as the parable of the soils. The parable is recorded here in Matthew 13, also as we saw this evening in Mark chapter 4, but it's also recorded in Luke chapter 8. Given that the parables were designed to unfold aspects of the kingdom of heaven, the question naturally arises, what does this parable set forth so far as the kingdom of heaven is concerned? The answer is that this parable addresses how the word of the kingdom is to be heard, or is heard even. And that's made plain actually in Matthew 13 and verse 19, where we read, when anyone heareth, notice this, the word of the kingdom. This parable is about the word of the kingdom. The parable references the differing reactions or responses that the hearing of the word of the kingdom evoked from those who heard it. The differing responses are described in the parable by what transpires with respect to seed that a sower or farmer sows into different types of soils. In each instance, the same seed is sown, but the responses to that word is in fact different. Jesus taught this parable at a time when his public ministry had reached a crisis point. Rather than uniting the people, his ministry at this time was causing division. His preaching failed to meet with the approval of many, and indeed many had become opposed to his teaching and preaching. Meeting those concerns head on, Jesus, speaking to the multitude gathered there at the Sea of Galilee, took the opportunity to reveal to the people, and more specifically to his disciples, the fundamental reason why the word of the kingdom which he proclaimed was causing such divisions. There was nothing wrong, you see, with the word. There was nothing wrong with what Jesus was preaching. The responses to his teaching and preaching had everything to do, though, with the soil into which those words of the kingdom were sown. And that's why here Jesus exhorts his disciples and actually exhorts us that we should be those who have ears. If we have ears to hear, let us hear. I want to look at this word of God in this evening under this heading or this theme, hearing the word of the kingdom. I'll look firstly at the sowing of the word, secondly at the response to the word sown, and then finally the point of the parable. The parable begins, of course, with the words, "Behold, a sower went forth to sow." As was common in the parables that Jesus used, he draws here upon a common sight in Palestine of a farmer going out into his field to sow his seed. And the usual practice was for a farmer to attach a pouch filled with seed to a belt strung around his waist. And having first cultivated his field, that farmer would then move systematically to and fro across his field, broadcasting or sowing the seed as he went. And sowing the seed in this way resulted in the seed falling upon a variety of soils. Some of the seed, we are told, fell by the wayside. That's verse 4. Fields in Palestine were often crisscrossed by paths that had become compacted under the constant foot traffic of both man and beast. And these paths are what is meant here by the wayside. Under a baking sun, those paths, with their constant use, became extremely hard. Seed that was accidentally sown onto those paths had virtually no prospect whatsoever of germinating because the seed was unable to actually penetrate the compacted soil. And even if the seed somehow managed to penetrate the upper surface of the soil, it had really no opportunity to grow and put down roots. Usually seed sown on those paths simply lay exposed on the compacted surface of the earth. And because the seed was unable to nestle down into the soil, there was actually no protection for it. And that being the case, it was often not long before the birds that swarmed around the fields as farmers went about their sowing soon espied that seed and then promptly devoured it. No sooner had the seed been sown in such circumstances and it was gone. Consequently, seed sown onto those paths failed to produce any fruit. Other seed, we are told here, fell upon stony places. That's verses 5 and 6. And what's being described here is not a field in which there were numerous rocks. We're quite familiar with those sort of fields here in Tasmania. But it's not a field in which there are many, many rocks scattered across the surface of the field. But rather, what the reference here is to what was common in Palestine, which was that there were ledges or sheets of rock that actually lay just below the surface of the soil. And given that the sheets of rocks were usually covered by a thin layer of soil, a superficial examination of a field might have led the inexperienced eye to conclude that the field was in fact fine, whereas in reality that was not so. And the reason why that was not the case was because those portions of the field that had underneath them these thin or these layers of rock were actually not suitable for the growing of crops because the depth of soil was minimal. Consequently, seed sown into such soil was unable to develop properly. Now, the seeds could germinate in that soil. The seedlings were actually unable to send down their roots deep into the soil. In many instances, the problem was not always immediately apparent because often the actual seedlings would actually flourish for a short while. That was probably because the sun would heat the thin layer or heat the layer of soil above the rock and so provide a place for quick germination of the seed. And so the seedlings would actually grow quite profusely initially, but soon as the heat of the day bore on and as the lack of moisture from the soil became apparent, and because the plant could not put down roots into the lower regions of the soil, so it was that those plants very soon withered and died. And the result, of course, again was that seed sown into such stony soil failed to produce any fruit. Still other seed, we are informed in the parable, fell among thorns. That's verse 7. It's not that the sower deliberately scattered his seed among thorns, but it would appear that at the time of sowing, the ground, though it appeared to be well-cultivated soil, had within it inherently thorns and other weeds. And so when the seed was sown, it was sown into that area, but very soon thereafter the seed was sown and began to cultivate, or rather began to germinate. So it was also that the latent seeds of the thorns also began to germinate. And as often the case with thorns, they grew profusely. And as these seeds of the thorns grew, and as the seed that the farmer had sown also began to germinate and grow, ultimately the seed that the farmer sowed was actually overwhelmed by the thorns that had also grown in that same area. And so consequently the thorns sprang up, they became well established, and the seed sown by the farmer had little prospect of thriving. And the end result also of that seed sown into that type of soil also was that it failed to produce any fruit. Finally, we are told in the parable that still other seed was sown into good ground. It fell into good ground. That's verse 8. And this ground was ground that was well cultivated, rich and well aerated. The soil was deep. There were no sheets of rocks to hinder the growth of the plants. The seed sown by the farmer had access also to ample moisture and to nutrients. After it was sown, the seed was able to nestle down into the soil. It germinated, it sent down roots deep into the soil. There were no other thorns or other weeds to inhibit growth, and as a consequence, these seedlings flourished. And unlike the other seed sown by the farmer, this seed produced fruit, indeed much fruit. However, even in this soil, there was a variation in fruitfulness. We are told that some of the seeds produced prolifically, a hundredfold, others not quite so prolifically, but nonetheless very acceptably, 60-fold, other 30-fold. That's the parable. But the crucial question, of course, is how are we to understand the sower, the seed, and the field? What do they depict? What's the parable teaching us? The sower of the seed, in the first instance, is undoubtedly Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ is the one who sows the word of the kingdom. And he was actually, at this point in time, actually sowing the word of the kingdom in the course of his earthly ministry. And brethren, he continues to sow that word of the kingdom even today. And he does that through gospel ministers. He does that through the preaching of the word. Because the word that is preached by gospel ministers is the word of the kingdom. Jesus Christ is in fact sowing the word of the kingdom even here this evening. And he does that in fact Lord's Day by Lord's Day. It follows that the seed that the sower sowed represents the word of God, or more specifically here in the words of the parable, the word of the kingdom. That's verse 19 again. When one heareth the word of the kingdom. It's the word of the kingdom in that it speaks about the kingdom and gives insight into the kingdom, and in fact is the key to opening the way into the kingdom. In other words, the seed is the word of God. It's the word of God that reveals the way of salvation to you and me. It's the word that reveals to us Jesus Christ. It reveals our need of a Saviour. And it points us to Jesus Christ as that Saviour. It points to him as the one who by his death, resurrection, and ascension has opened the way for sinners into the kingdom of heaven. This seed, this word of the kingdom, is broadcast into the field. The field represents the world. The word of God, like the seed in the parable, is to be broadcast or sown. It's to be sown into the field of this world. It's to be preached promiscuously, indiscriminately throughout the world. Wherever the opportunity presents itself, ministers of the gospel in particular are to sow the word of the kingdom. To declare and herald the word of God and the way of salvation. As every preacher of the gospel is only too well aware, that seed that he sows does not always bear fruit. In fact, in many instances, it does not bear any fruit whatsoever, not at least positive fruit. Same word of the kingdom is proclaimed, same gospel is preached in all the different places where the gospel is declared, but nonetheless, in some of those places where the gospel is preached, it bears no fruit, no fruit at all. The sowing of the word of the kingdom, or to put it another way, the preaching of the gospel and the heralding of the word of God, produces, as we see in this parable, essentially two differing results or responses. To some who come under the preaching, to those who actually hear the word of God, it is profitable. For some it's profitable. It bears fruit. And for some it does so abundantly. In others, less so, but nonetheless it bears real fruit. And that word of the kingdom is life-changing. It produces genuine spiritual fruit. It results in the manifestation and growth of spiritual graces. It produces the works of the Spirit. However, in others who hear exactly the same word, it fails to produce any fruit. With some, it is as though what they have heard has been eaten by the birds. With others, it's as though what they heard simply withers and dies. While others, it's as though what they have heard has been choked by weeds and thorns. The same seed, same word is sown, but it produces fruit in one, but not in another. Why is that? Why does the seed produce fruit in some, but not in others? Well, the first thing to be said is this: evidently the problem does not lie with the seed. The seed is fine. The explanation for the different results lies with the nature of the soils into which the seed is sown. And Jesus makes that plain in his explanation of this parable that's recorded in Matthew 13 in the verses 18 through 23. As regards the seed sown on the hardened paths, notice what Jesus says there in verse 19 of that seed. He says in verse 19, "When one heareth the word of the kingdom and understandeth it not, then cometh the wicked one and catcheth away that which was sown in his heart." And then he goes on to say, "This is he which received seed by the wayside." This is he that received that seed that fell on the hardened paths. Brethren, there are hard ground hearers of the word of God. And they're like the hard paths of Palestine that have been trodden down and baked under the hot sun. And they are impervious to the word of the kingdom. The word does not penetrate, nor does it lodge in their rock-like hearts. Yes, they hear the word. Perhaps they even come regularly to church and they sit under the ministry of the word. So the seed is sown, and perhaps it even to a degree enters their minds, even if ever so briefly. But they don't receive that word. At best, such hearers perhaps consider the word, but they only consider that word briefly and superficially. Intellectually, they may understand what has been preached, but they never receive that word into their hearts. It may be that they perhaps grasp the fundamentals, even of the gospel. They know certainly of the name of Jesus Christ. They may even be familiar with his work, with his death upon the cross, of his atoning work. They may even be able to articulate those things. But they only comprehend those things at an intellectual level. They do not truly understand the gospel and the way of salvation. And that gospel certainly does not relate to them personally. And it does not resonate within their hearts. And so for such hearers, the word of the kingdom has no lasting or abiding effect upon their hearts. Their hearts remain closed to the word of God. That word does not resonate with them personally. And the reason for that is because there is no spiritual life in them. There has been no work of grace performed in them by the Holy Spirit. The preaching is hardly concluded, and they have already forgotten what they heard. And so in many respects, they are indifferent to the word of the kingdom. And in truth, they have no spiritual interest in that kingdom. What's revealed here is that Satan actually steals the word that they've heard. And he takes that word. And he takes that word just as easily as the birds did the seed lying on the hard paths of Palestine. No sooner have such hearers heard the word than Satan snatches it away. And the word consequently never enters, nor does it ever lodge in their hearts. And consequently, the word is vital and as relevant as it is to that man or woman. It actually bears no spiritual fruit. The word sown has no opportunity to produce anything of spiritual worth in the life of such hearers, and it doesn't produce any change whatsoever. What are the seeds sown on the stony ground? Well, Jesus also provides insight into such hearers in verses 20 and 21. There we read, "But he that receiveth the seed into stony places, the same as he that heareth the word, and anon, that is immediately, and anon with joy receiveth it, yet hath he not root in himself, but dureth or endures for a while. For when tribulation or persecution arises because of the word, by and by he is offended, or by and by he is stumbled." Those hearers who are like the stony ground hear the word of God, they hear the word of the kingdom, but only receive it in a superficial way. Just like the seed sown on the stony ground, the word never really takes genuine root in their hearts. It might germinate. There may be an intellectual or initial enthusiasm for that word, or an initial interest in the word, but that enthusiasm, that desire for the word soon dissipates and subsides. Such hearers possess no depth of spiritual understanding. The word does not develop and does not mature in their hearts. They receive the word only superficially, with the result that when difficulties and persecution arises, the word of the kingdom does not inform their hearts and minds. They draw no comfort from that word. They find no solace in that word. Their initial joy in the word quickly subsides, and it soon withers away. And the result is that such hearers are quickly offended and stumbled. What happens as a result? Well, they fall back. They fall back into their former ways of life. They have no strength or ability to withstand tribulation and persecution. And what fruit results? There is no spiritual fruit. The word never takes root in the heart of such a man or woman. It does not produce change, nor does it inform their hearts. So therefore the word of the kingdom produces no spiritual fruit in the life of that man or woman. Thirdly, what are the seed sown among the thorns? Again, Jesus gives us an indication of what that means in verse 22 when he says, "He also that receives seed among the thorns is he that heareth the word, and the care of this world and the deceitfulness of riches choke the word, and he becometh unfruitful." It seems as though this seed sown among the thorns concerns really nominal Christians, professing Christians who love themselves more than they love God. They hear the word. Jesus Christ holds some attraction for them, but their great interest, in fact, is not in Jesus Christ. It's not in the gospel, but it's actually in the material things of this world. And as a result, there's a tension between the Christian life and the things of this world. And for those hearers of that nature, two things tend to overcome them. Firstly, the care of this world. Their concerns for the things of this world actually become things that choke out the word of the kingdom. We find that fear and anxiety tend to overtake them. But furthermore, the deceitfulness of riches also chokes the word that they hear. The riches and pleasures of this world prove too alluring. Those riches deceive them. They love those things of this world more than they love the things of God, so that they reject the word of God and seek after those riches instead of the things of the kingdom. By the riches of this world here is meant happiness, the pleasures and enjoyments of this world. And so they desire those things more than they desire the things of the kingdom. And what they do is they weigh the benefits of the things of this world and a life in Jesus Christ. And in the end, they determine that the things of this world are more attractive, more important, more significant to them. The result, the word of the kingdom bears no fruit in them. And finally, there is the seed sown into the good ground. And again, Jesus gives us insight into that in verse 23. "But he that receives seed into the good ground is he that heareth the word and understandeth it, which also beareth fruit and bringeth forth some 100-fold, some 60, some 30. Brethren, there are those. There are those, thankfully, who receive the word of the kingdom with gladness. They actually delight to hear the word. That word warms their hearts, and the word of the kingdom takes deep root within their hearts. And the tribulations and persecutions of this world do not shake their confidence in that world, nor are they overwhelmed by the cares of this world, nor are they deceived and allured by the attractions of this world. Rather, instead of hankering after the attractions of this world, they're grounded in the riches and promises of the word of God. They have their eyes firmly set upon Jesus Christ and upon the salvation that is to be found in him. Seed sown into such soil brings forth much fruit, some 100-fold, some 60, some 30. There are those in whom the word produces abundant fruit. It results in change. It sees the manifestation of spiritual graces in their lives. They are genuine trophies of grace. And these plants grow and they thrive spiritually under the word of the kingdom. Jesus Christ here says to us, "Hear ye therefore the parable of the sower." This parable, brethren, applies to each and every one of us. It applies to us as we hear the preaching of the word of the kingdom this evening. It applies to us each time we come under the preaching of the word Sabbath by Sabbath. But having said that, we ought to be careful not to misunderstand the thrust of this parable. The parable is not describing a variety of ways in which the believer hears the word of the kingdom. Just let me explain that further. This parable is not teaching that there are a variety of ways in which, note this, the believer hears the word of the kingdom. This parable is not just simply supplying us with information about how the believer hears the word of the kingdom. It's not saying that we, as believers at times, are like the seed sown by the wayside, or at other times we're like those who have plucked, who have been plucked, have the word plucked from our grasp before we can take hold of it. Nor are we here being compared to the stony ground, so that at times our grasp of the word is shallow, so that the word that we hear is soon destroyed by the heat of the day. Nor are we being compared here to those who hear the word, but who have that word choked by the cares of this world and the deceitfulness of riches. But rather, the believer here is to be identified with the seed sown into the good soil. The believer is one who hears the word of God, and that word takes root in the heart of the believer. It bears fruit in our lives. The other descriptions are in relation to those who actually do not have a work of grace in their hearts, and they are explaining how that word is actually taken from them in different ways. None of those are actually those who actually receive the word of God and actually bear fruit. It's only those into whom the seed is sown into the good ground that actually bears fruit. Yes, some 60, some 100, some 60, yes, some 30. Does that mean then that every time that you and I hear the word of God preached, we actually profit from the word? Well, the answer to that is no. Not every time. In fact, probably far too many times that we hear the word of God, we don't actually profit as we ought from that word. It doesn't bear spiritual fruit in our lives as it ought. The truth is that sometimes we sit under the preaching of the word of God and we're not particularly spiritually alert. Perhaps our spiritual health is in a poor state. And sometimes we haven't prepared ourselves either to hear the word of God as we ought to have done. And the truth is sometimes we're not very attentive either when the word of God is actually preached. And all that's part of our remaining corruption. It's what we battle, even as believers. And the result, of course, of that is that sometimes, like the seed that falls on the hard paths or that falls on the rocky soil that is choked by the thorns, sometimes it is that even though we are those who are true children of God, we actually don't receive the benefits and the blessings of the word of the kingdom. And the result is that we actually fail to profit from that word as we ought. And the truth is that the word of the kingdom on those occasions fails to bear fruit in us, or it fails to bear the fruit that it ought to bear in us. But brethren, the reality is this: the true child of God cannot consistently sit under the ministry of the word of God and not bring forth fruit. That's impossible. It's impossible because the bringing forth of that fruit is the work of the Holy Spirit in our hearts. It's a fundamental truth of the kingdom that the word of the kingdom will bear fruit in the life of the believer. Yes, in some it may be 100-fold, some it might be 60, some 30. But the word of the kingdom will bear fruit in the life of every believer. We can't be a believer and be those in whom the word of the kingdom bears no fruit. The believer will embrace and live out of the word of the kingdom, and that word will bring forth spiritual fruit. That's made particularly plain in the parallel account in Luke 8 and verse 15. Now there, Luke, describing those that receive the seed into good ground, says this. He describes them as those who are honest and of good heart, having the word, those who keep it and who bring forth fruit with patience. What's that fruit that the child of God brings forth? What's that fruit that the believer brings forth? Well, it's the fruit of the gifts of the Spirit, as we've already said. It's also the fruit of holiness of life. It's the fruit also of obedience to the Word of God. And so, brethren, the question that always arises out of this parable for us is this: what sort of hearer are we? Are we one who actually bears fruit? Or are we one who actually hears the Word of God, perhaps even consistently hears the Word of God? We hear the word of the kingdom, but it doesn't produce any fruit. These are things we ought to examine ourselves in. How can we examine ourselves concerning the fruits? But we need to look at our lives. We need to see what we're doing, what's important to us. Are we those that are more caring about the things of this world, or are we more concerned about spiritual things? Do we see the work of God's grace in our hearts? Do we see development in our life? Do we see a growing sanctification in our life? That's what every child of God should actually observe and see. We ought not come and simply sit under the preaching of the Word of God Sabbath by Sabbath and there'd be very limited or no effect upon us. We should be actually taking in, absorbing, and then applying that Word in our lives. Brethren, this evening I want to leave you with the words of our Westminster Larger Catechism in question 160. Pays reflection. The question there is asked, what is required of those that hear the word preached? And the answer is given, it is required of those that hear the word preached that they attend upon it with diligence, preparation, and prayer. That's interesting, isn't it? If we want to hear the word preached properly, we need to attend upon it with diligence. In other words, we attend regularly upon the preaching of the word. But we also attend upon that word with preparation. We need to prepare actually to come to hear the word of God. And we need to also engage in prayer before we come to hear the word of God. We need to pray that the Lord might be pleased to use that word and to grant us fruit upon the hearing of that word. So it's required of those that hear the word preached that they attend upon it with diligence, preparation, and prayer. Examine what they hear by the scriptures. Receive the truth with faith, love, meekness, and readiness of mind as the word of God. Meditate and confer of it. Hide it in their hearts and bring forth the fruit of it in their lives. That, brethren, by God's grace, is what we are to do with the word of the kingdom. Amen. Let's stand for a word of prayer. Lord, is anything we have heard this evening new to us? The truth is probably not. It's not as though we don't know what use we should put the Word of God to, and of the need that we have to take hold of that Word and to embrace it and to apply it to our own lives. But here, in the very first parable concerning the kingdom of God, the kingdom of heaven, the Lord Jesus Christ sets down these fundamental truths of how it is that we hear the word and what response we are to give to that word. And he warns us here that in fact there are many who actually hear that word and who actually have no fruit that is forthcoming from that word. Lord, our prayers that would not be true for us. Our prayers, Lord, that there would be a genuine fruit. We would come, we would hear the word, we would embrace it, and that there would be genuine fruit upon our hearing of the word of the kingdom. These things we pray, indeed these things we plead on behalf of our Saviour Jesus Christ, in whose name we pray. Amen.